As we've been traveling along together this summer, we've been talking about Christian virtues. Virtues, qualities of life, ways of behaving. Qualities of life that grow out of what we believe about who God is, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, what we believe the body of the church is, what we believe our future is in God, in this world and in the world to come. And out of what we believe God is doing in this world, we believe that there are certain ways of being that grow out of that. And we've been looking at several of those. We remember that these ways of behaving are not natural to us, but that these come to us as a function of God's grace and blessing. That when we read about the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, we take that seriously. That over in an earlier section there are the works of the flesh, what the flesh does, but then there is what the Spirit bears in our life. And we remember that what the Spirit bears in our life, it is able to bear because our hearts are set with a hunger for a new kind of life, a life that's in Christ. And because we have that hunger for a new kind of life, our spirit and God's spirit agree that change is possible in us, that furniture can be moved around in our heart, that some pictures can be taken down in some rooms in our soul, and that things can be rearranged. And so we come joyfully before God and say, I submit to your desire to change us a bit. That even though your grace is great to take me the way that I was, your heart's desire is to help recreate us by the transforming of our hearts into the very likeness of Christ. Now that's a pretty fancy beginning to a sermon, isn't it? Sounds kind of fancy, but we're here for serious business, for good business. And we're here because God loves us so much that He wants to help us become something that we could never be without Him. Or at least to an extent that we could never be without Him. To a depth we'd never be without Him. So this morning, we're going to talk about kindness. Now, earlier this morning, I asked Annette if she would come and sing for us. And even though she said she was ready to, I guess we'll pass. But I was going to be asking her to sing, "Be Kind to Your Web-Footed Friends." For the duck may be somebody's mother. Now, this is not a church song, but it had the word kind in it, and so I thought that would be good. But what surprised me is that when I asked her to sing this song, she actually sang the whole song, because she did actually know it. And so I'm being kind to you by... That's not doing that right now. In looking at kindness, I stumbled across more than I thought I would find. I mean, I thought I would find kindness to be one of those words where you exhort the mild to be more mild. You know, you exhort kindness. Find different kinds of kindness. And all the different kinds of kindnesses, you would just propose several. But I stumbled across a couple of pieces here that invite us to do a little heavy lifting, maybe. The first thing is that this word for kindness is kin to the noun, kin to a word that was a very popular name for a slave. Krestos. Very popular name for a slave. Very popular name for a slave, and in fact, a name that in the first century evidently was a name that was very difficult to distinguish from the name Christos. Now don't leave me yet. Don't leave me yet. Don't leave me because we need to stay together a little while longer. In AD 49, Claudius kicked out the Jews. Kicked them out of Rome. And the historians say that he kicked them out of Rome over a controversy about someone named Christos, which is the name for kind or good or beneficial. But everyone knows, pretty much agrees, that the controversy wasn't over some slave named Christos. The controversy was within the Jewish community over someone named Christos. It was a Christ controversy. And so Aquila and Priscilla are thrown out and they end up in Corinth. And that's that story. And it tells us that in the first century, Christos, kind, and Christos, anointed, were words that were hard to distinguish in people's ears. Really? One writer says that it's possible that at Antioch they weren't called the Christians, but the Christians. He may be right, he may be wrong, but at least it was somebody else. It wasn't me that said it. And so the notion maybe that they weren't just the followers of Christ, but there was also the notion that they were the goody-goodies. Imagine if the Christians were first called goody-goodies at Antioch. It would change everything, wouldn't it? Or maybe it doesn't change everything. Maybe it tells us that within that first century environment, it was hard to tell the difference between the Christians and the goody-goodies, the Christians and the Christians. From where you are, you may be not able to even hear the nuance that I'm putting in that vowel. And that's the problem. That's the play on words, perhaps. And what if in this use of that word for kind, the exhortation is not nearly to be kind, but to be a certain kind of kind, but to be the Christ kind of kind? Wouldn't that be something? And then the second thing, besides that little historical, linguistic note, the second part is that there's an interesting placement of the word kind in these two great texts. The one that was just read so very well out of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and then the section that we read always for the fruit of the Spirit. The placement is significant because it is never just kind out there at random, but it is always patience and kindness. Patient and kind. Patient and kind. As if they're paired. As if they're binary stars circling one another and allowing us to see how they resonate and beat with one another. That is, if in the Christian faith they are meant to be seen as a pair. We've talked about patience. You may remember me being accosted by a cart pusher in the market in Jerusalem and being urged to patience by a wandering priest who was right there at the right time. I think perhaps his name was Gabriel and he'd come from on high. But there's more than patience, you see. Because patience may be how you withstand the various circumstances that are going on, but kindness is the retaliation of patience. Kindness is the response of patience. Kindness is what happens when patience needs to act. Kindness. Wouldn't it be interesting if we had as a sense of ourselves, as a sense of our defining behaviors, our sense of who we are, Not that sense of nobody does anything to me that I don't get them back for. I don't take anything off anybody. I don't take charity and I don't give charity. I'm a rough and tumble guy. I'm an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. The Old West, a six gun for a six gun. What if in the Christian faith there's a sense of you're in something that requires you to be patient? And you're not patient in circumstances that you enjoy, right? We understand that, right? I don't have to be patient with pecan pie. I don't have to be patient with my grandchildren. I don't have to be patient with my... Well, there's limit to that, but often we find ourselves in difficult circumstances, pressing circumstances, circumstances of not our own choosing, or maybe they are of our own choosing, but they're difficult, and patience is the response. But while we're being patient, you have to decide, what am I going to do in this patience? What am I going to do? And the language of Scripture is, you're about to do kindness. It's what your patience is about to do. Open your Bibles, and I hope you've got one. I don't have any slides up today. This is actually live and in person. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus, who is speaking as one who has authority, says, do not resist an evil person. Really? Okay. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and don't turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. The end of that is that God lets the rain fall on the just and the unjust. And if you love your friends, then what credit is that? But if you love your enemies, then you're being like God. But these responses, if someone is attacking you, you do not attack them. You look past the attack. You look through the attack. You look past defense. And you look into offensive kindness. I am not going to defend myself. I am going to give you the opportunity to think about this at least one more time. Do you really want to hit me? Do you really want to? And when someone takes my shirt and I'm going to think, I've got to get my shirt back? No. I'm going to think, you know, if somebody needs a shirt, they probably need a coat. If somebody needs a shirt, they probably need a coat. I could give them my coat. And if the Roman soldier comes along and says, hey, Jew, carry my pack. And you know that you are required by law to carry it one stadia. You know you're required to carry it a mile. Then along the way you begin to ask this Roman soldier, so where are you from? Really? That's a long way. You've come a long way to be in this army. This is a heavy pack. What's in here? Really? Mementos of your wife and children? What do you have? Is it a lock of hair? Is there something your little girl made for you and gave you as you... Really? Well, I'm not through with this story. Could I carry it another mile? I'm not through with you yet, you see, because now I was not the victim when the one who struck me. I'm still in control. I'm not the victim when someone takes my shirt. I'm still in the business of giving away my coat. I'm not the victim when somebody wants me to carry the load 1 mile. I'm now in the business of kindness. I've got something to do. My patience is not being tried. My patience is motivating me to kindness. You're trying my patience. Oh no. Oh no, not trying my patience. You are activating my patience. You are motivating my patience. And when patience gets busy, kindness comes. That's what it says. And at the end of 2 miles, I'm sorry, I wish I could go further, but I've got a wife of my own and a girl of my own. And look, this is what she gives me. I carry it every day with me to work. It's a little picture. Yes. We both have a little girl. Yeah. Well, bless you today. And hang on to that thing. In fact, that strap's getting a little loose. You might look at that. Well, good day. Really? Kindness. It's always there, you see. Patience and kindness. And the other great story, as he looks at his watch, the other great story is in Luke chapter 10. You know the story. The man comes and asks questions about eternal life and commandments and the greatest commandments. And anyway, and he ends up saying, well, who is my neighbor? And Jesus tells him a story. And you know the story. And we always tell the story. We always tell the story from the perspective. There was a man who was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he was beset by robbers, and then there are people who walk by. And there's a priest that walks by, and a Levite that walks by, and there's a Samaritan that walks by, and the Samaritan stops. And that's a good story. And it's a story of kindness, but perhaps today we would think of this story and we'd move the camera around and we would take a different point of view. And we would imagine the life of this Samaritan. Because he hasn't been beaten and left for dead. So that you would walk around him as a body, as a bleeding body, as a potentially dead body, as a body that would make you unclean if you were a Jew, as a body that would make it where you couldn't go to the temple if you were a priest. But this Samaritan man has been walking this road all day long, alive and well, and people have been walking around him. The Jews have been walking around him all day. And when he met the priest walked around him because to touch a Samaritan would make you as unclean as touching a body. And the Levite didn't want anything to do with him either. He lived all day in the company of people who knew that they were better than he was and his patience, you see, ended up being a neighborly patience because at the end of tolerating all of that marginalization, all of that being put over on the side, at the end of being cast off as the living, healthy, unclean, as at the end of all that, he still has a heart open to kindness. So that when he sees a man who has had the very life beaten out of him, a man who, when he'd been healthy, might have walked around him. A man who, if he'd been able to move, might have moved quickly away. His patience moves quickly to kindness. And being the neighbor is really just a nice term for knowing what to do with patience and kindness. So it comes to us that the Lord Jesus, when he was betrayed, lets Judas kiss him even as he turns him in. That the servant of the high priest, Malchus, gets on the wrong end of Peter's sword and has to pick his ear up out of the dirt. And the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took an ear and put it back. Malchus may need that ear in order to hear a really good story in about 50 days. That Jesus, when he is being betrayed, is generous in heart toward those that he asks to be forgiven because they don't know what they will do. And on the cross, when he is hanging between two thieves, there in the middle of all of that, he invites a thief to spend the rest of the day with him in paradise. And when Jesus comes back from the dead, he goes to Galilee and fixes a fisherman's breakfast on the shore. And when Peter comes, Jesus, who was often patient with Peter, treated him with kindness. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you like me? Really? Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. And so there is this Christ-likeness that we hear in the Scripture that is expressed that in the Christos become the Christos. In becoming the Christ, become the kind. And in that sense, you see, kindness is not this little weak, if you give a mouse a cookie kind of kindness. Kindness is that response you give when perhaps everything that's in you that's not washed in the blood and drowned in the Spirit. It's what you do when everything that's unredeemed about you wants to do something else. And there are times in your life when you know you want to be strong and you want to retaliate. You just find yourself beset by enemies, and all life is enemies and retaliation. And you want to beat on your chest and swing through the life on a vine, just attacking. And what you hear in Scripture, if you want to hear it, is that the greatest revenge is kindness. The sweetest response is kindness. So I don't know how to challenge people to kindness. Get out there and be kind. Get busy. But I would say this. Already in your life, there's something about what's going on that's annoying. There's somebody that's found your last nerve and they're on it. And you've been thinking about what you're going to do. I've been thinking about what I'm going to say. I'm going to pull the trigger on a word or an action, and then I'll have my satisfaction. And the word of the Lord is that every impatient and unkind response will ultimately lead to greater disorder and no satisfaction at all. So, by the intent of our own heart and our own will, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, which has helped all of God's people from the beginning of time till now to be kind, if they were kind at all, so now we join our hearts with the heart of God and learn the language of kindness in the presence of patience, in the company of trouble. Let's stand and sing together.